I don't know that I have mentioned that it's so good to see your faces today, but it is. And today I want to talk to you about process. What? Let me try to explain. I want to start with this illustration, and I might use more than one this morning. When you go to build a house, guess what? There are things that you do in order. There is a process to that project. And we understand, even if you're not a builder, even if you don't know all those aspects of it, let me try to put it to you like this. You don't start putting sheetrock on the wall before you put a roof on the house, right? You guys, we all understand that. So there's a certain process. You dig the foundation. You get the water line into the house. You pour the foundation. Then you got to let that cure, and then you start building walls on top of that, and then you get the rafters up and flooring joist in. However, depending on the house, some are slab homes, some are two stories or three stories, and so then you get the roof on there once you get all those rafters up, and then you start because it's going to be closed in. You get your siding on, and then you start finishing the inside of the house. There's a process to it. Some things don't necessarily matter which ones you do first, but some of them most certainly do. You can't do some things before you do another, right? And so I want to bring that out this morning, and because I want to relate that to our lives spiritually. And we are all in process in our journey and our walk with the Lord. And some of you maybe listening at home, you may not have a journey with the Lord yet. You may not be walking with Jesus yet, but I contend that you're still on a journey, because I believe that the Lord has been dealing with you. God has been pulling on you. God has been working in your life and even behind the scenes your entire life, as he was with mine. And so I want to try to be able to relate this to you. Let's go to this first scripture. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says this, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns." So notice the word "began." God has already begun his work in your life. Yes, amen. That's right. We're thankful that God has already begun that work in us. He began to do something in our lives. I believe before we acknowledge Jesus as our Lord and Savior, I believe that he was working long before that. Otherwise, you wouldn't have come to Jesus. But because God is working, and he's drawing us, and he's, as a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit will convict us of sin. And that is the part of this work. And so we see here that God began a work, but we also see that, notice there in the middle, he will continue his work. He's not going to leave you by yourself. He's going to continue the work. You wouldn't want a general contractor to start building your house and not finish it, would you? You would, unless you were planning on doing part of that end work yourself. You would want, if you're paying them to fix it, you want them to finish it. You want them to do that. And so the Lord is, excuse me, the Lord has begun the work in your life, and he is going to, this is a promise. He will continue to work in your life until the day of Jesus Christ. He will continue to work on it forever and ever in this life. And that is good news for us, isn't it? Because how many of us can say, "Hey, I've arrived, I'm done, God doesn't need to do anything else on me"? I wish that we could. But Paul authored nearly two-thirds of the New Testament. And he said, I haven't arrived yet either. I haven't reached that place where there's not any more that I can learn, any more that I can grow. I haven't reached that place. But what did Paul say there? He said, but I look forward. I look forward. I don't look backwards. I look on ahead, and I look to Christ. I look to the prize of receiving Christ. I look for heaven. I can't wait for that day. I'm certain that God, who began the work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished. Isn't that exciting? So, God's not done with you yet. He's still working on you, right? He's still working on each and every one of us. And so I want to try to help us to grasp part of this, the process today. And I'm using a couple of scriptures to help us with this. Proverbs in the next verse, Proverbs 17, verse 3. The word says, fire tests the purity of silver and gold. Anybody like to play with fire? Just a couple of you. It's so intriguing when, if you let's say you have a bonfire or you burn some brush at the house on your property. Man, fire is very, very interesting. It's not interesting enough to want to get touch it, right? Because that hurts. We learned that when we were little kids, when we tried to touch the stove top and hey, no. Here the Bible says that fire tests the purity of silver and gold. And what they would do is they would melt the metals and continue to purify that. And that's how you get your different qualities of gold, by the way. They take off the dross, they take off the impurities once it's melted and in liquid form. The impurities will come to the top, they get rid of those. That's called the dross, and that will then purify the gold. And so, anybody ever feel like fire's been put to your life? You bet. You bet. If you've been living for Jesus any amount of time at all, really, you've been tested. There's been some fire put to your life. And here, back to the scripture, fire tests the purity of silver and gold, but look at this, but the Lord tests the heart. So that helps us. That gives us a glimpse of what God is doing, what Philippians already told us about. This gives us a picture of that, kind of the concept. Hey, kind of like a metal worker works with metal, God is working with us. And now, you see, he can't start working on the finished product not until we get there. We're in process. Does that mean he loves us less than he's going to? I don't think so. I think that he loves you enough, you and me, enough to work on us, right? He loves us. He loves us like crazy. That's why he sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. And so this verse helps us to get the idea that God is, that we are in process with God. God is working in us, and he wants to continually perfect us. Isn't that awesome? And my concern... My concern is that sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes we don't see it and we just get upset and we just get irritated and we don't see that it is God doing something in us if we'll allow him. And so I made a couple of knives when I was in high school. I don't know that you can do that now in high school, But man, it was such a blast. It was such a neat process. Now, please don't get technical on me. Or if you're at home and you know all the terminology, this was 25 years ago or more that I made these knives. So I never was really not super knowledgeable about it. But it was such a neat process. And then with these knives, we had cut it out of a big sawmill blade. It was all rusty and nasty looking and... Worked that down and got that looking nice. And then to go and put a wooden handle on it, I used brass rod to do that. And in order to do that, you have to drill some holes through the metal. So in order to drill holes through the metal, I had to temper that. I had to temper that metal. Guess what you use to temper the metal? Fire. Yeah, it was a torch. Oxyacetylene torch. And so we got that to a certain color. And then I don't remember. This is where I don't recall. And so in order to temper things a certain way, in this case, I'm trying to soften the metal to drill it. We would heat that up to a certain color and then cool it a specific way. You either dip it in water, it cools very fast, or you dip it in oil, it cools slower than that, or you put it in like a box of sand and it cools very slow. All of those do different things for your metal. Now, one of them makes the metal harder, which makes it brittle. And you don't really want it to be brittle, but you also don't want it to be real soft, do you, if you're making a knife? And so there was different processes with that working with metal. And the Lord does those things in us. And here's what I'd like to point out, that really the Lord can't move on from one thing until we get the first thing. Doesn't that make sense? Again, you don't start putting sheetrock on until all the roof is up. Otherwise, it's going to rain, and you're going to get your sheetrock all wet. See, there's a process in nearly everything that we do. I've just mentioned a couple of processes, building a home or making a knife. There's a process to baking bread. There is a process to nearly everything that we do. And there's a correct process for those, and we can't get those things out of order. I want to encourage you today to be thankful for the process. Let's recognize that process today, and let's begin to trust the process that God is the one working in it and working through that process. He's wanting to continually perfect us and draw us closer and closer to himself the whole time. What I'm trying to say is that we shouldn't plan on failure. Okay, we don't want to plan on failure, but sometimes that's how we understand the process. Sometimes God's going to put a little heat to it, to our life. That can be by circumstances. That can be by all kinds of things. Sometimes it's difficulty. And God, what God is doing is He's allowing there to be a little bit of heat added to our life, and then we get to see what's in us. Right? So when you get upset about something, I want us to begin to realize that, hey, you know what? This is God working in me. Not, God doesn't make us upset. Don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say here. But God is working in the situation. And when let's say we were to get upset about something, let us begin to understand that, hey, you know what? God's working in me. And this is rising up to the top so that I can skim it off, so I can get rid of that. That's dross in my life, and it needs to go. Does that make sense? So let's begin. So we're not planning on failing, but in those failures and in those times where we were like, oh, man, I don't like what I just saw of myself, let's begin to realize that it's God working in the process, because you know what? We can't fix it if we don't realize it's there. And really, we can't fix it anyway, but we're not going to work on it if we don't know that it exists in our life. And so let us begin to understand that, hey, you know what, this might be part of the process that Pastor talked about on that Sunday. Maybe this is God trying to continue to perfect me and make me better and brighter and more pure. Let's move to the next verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. This helps us also to see that there's process, that there is a progression. And here Paul writes, "And we all with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed." Notice being. We're being transformed. Like constantly, continually. We're to be continually transformed. We are being transformed into the same image, the image of Christ, from one degree of glory to another. You see that? That's the process. From one step to another step, from one level to the next level. And you can't skip levels, because you can't move on until you understood the other one, the first one, or the one that you're on. You can't move to, you can't skip one and go to another one. God says, no, I really need you to pass this. Right? I need you to understand. I need you to recognize. I need you to allow this process. I need you to understand that I'm allowing this to come up to the top so that you can deal with it. Isn't that great? I see this as mercy and grace. He's saying, hey, I'm going to help you fix it. But you need to realize it's there first. But I'm going to help you fix it. From your being, he's continuing to transform us. We're being transformed continually. Today and tomorrow and the next day and next month and next year and 5 years from now. The whole goal is what? The whole growth is, you probably can't see it, it's a little low. But right here, one of our core values is that we should grow. That we should grow in our knowledge and our understanding of God and his word. That we should grow in spiritually speaking. And we should become closer to Christ, closer to him today than we were yesterday. And this is kind of what that's talking about. He wants to continually transform us. And he wants to take us from one level of glory to another level of glory. That's process, from one step in our relationship to another. Listen, let me try to explain it like this. When God sees us through something, what does that do? That builds our faith, doesn't it? When we see and we recognize and we understand that God walked us through something, then we say, interesting. Praise you, God. You just helped me through that. That wasn't all me. I know that was you. Thank you. And that builds our faith. That builds our trust in who God is. So then guess what? Then the next thing comes along and we say, huh, you know what? I can do this too with the Lord's help. We can do this. We can grow. We can win this. This is not going to be easy. Matter of fact, Lord, this is pretty uncomfortable, but I know you can help me through it. Right? And so from one level of glory to another level of glory. Now listen, nobody's keeping track but the Lord of those levels of glory. So it's not like, well, hey, you're not doing very good. Looks like here you're only on level 3. I think that you should be on level 17. No, nobody's doing that because I don't know what level people are at because I'm not the one working behind the scenes, right? But it's the Lord and he wants to take us. He's processing us, if you will. Not that we're just a number. Not that we're just a project. But at the same time, we're a project. We're his kids. And he's saying, come on. I love you enough not to let you stay right there. Come on. You can do it. Get up. Get up on your feet. Let's go. Come on, move. And I want to help you. I want to help you to learn. I want to help you to walk through this. I want to help you to become more and more like my son Jesus. From glory to glory. And then another level of glory, and then another one, and then another one. There's not just two. I don't know how many there are, but you know what? Each one of those things ought to build God confidence in our life. I think that there is, I think that it's good for us to have confidence, but I think it's great for us to have God confidence. You say, do you remember a few weeks ago I talked about when I had to fix my truck? I was not feeling very confident in myself because I was hours into this project and still couldn't get it. No, I believe in God. God's going to help me. And he did. And so, again, for me, that was one of those processes where God's help was helping me to realize that he was with me and that we could do it. Whatever it is, that we can do it. And so there's an aspect, we got to have a God confidence much more than a self-confidence. Because you know what, self will just leave you dry. But God is important. He is powerful. each step builds upon the next step. And we can't get those out of order. We can't skip some. And so we've got to learn from it. So I want to give you a couple of examples. And the first one is in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Timothy was this young minister that was kind of like Paul's protege. Paul was mentoring him and discipling him and raising, helping him to understand God, understand the word, understand ministry. And And here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, Paul writes to Timothy in a letter. That's what the book of 2 Timothy is. It was a letter to Timothy, and Paul is telling him many things. And in this verse, look what Paul tells Timothy. God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and of self-discipline, Timothy. Do you know what I see there? I see process. I see Paul realizing that, you know what, Timothy might have struggled with that fear and being timid about sharing the gospel. Or maybe, like I used to be a little timid about sharing and teaching those who were older and more mature in their faith than me. Those who've been serving Jesus way longer than me. I started that years ago when my pastor asked me to teach an adult Sunday school class. I told him I thought he was out of his mind. But I did say, "But Pastor, I'll pray about it." And I just kind of felt God was saying, "All right, son, you do it. Your leader asked you to do it. You can do it. I'm with you." "Okay, yeah. Yeah, Pastor, I think I can do that. I might have a lot of questions." So I did. It was God confidence, not confidence in me. Okay? And so maybe that was something that Timothy was struggling with, and here Paul writes to him in this letter, "Hey, Timothy, don't worry about it. You need to work on that fear. Get over that fear, because God didn't give that to you. God didn't give you that fear. Instead, God gave you power, God gave you love, and God gave you self-discipline." Or another version says, "sound mind." And so, what encouragement? Paul didn't scold him. Paul wasn't beating him up. Paul was just saying, "Hey, fear doesn't come from God, remember. God gives you these things instead of that." Do you see the process in this example here of Timothy's life? And so I want to show you another one as you turn to Genesis 45. Let me try to briefly explain and remind you of what happened in Joseph's life. Many of you remember that Joseph, he had a whole bunch of older brothers and then one younger brother. I think there was 12 of them in all. And so Joseph, when he's approximately 17 years old, he was 17 years old. When he's 17 years old, he has a couple of dreams. And one of the dreams, in these dreams, they're both very, very similar with some differences. And so basically in these dreams, Joseph sees his whole family, his older brothers, bowing down to him. And to Joseph's delight, he has to go and tell his brothers about these dreams, which might have caused him a little conflict. So because of these dreams and what was going to happen in these alleged dreams, his older brothers conspired against him, right? And matter of fact, one of them wanted to kill him, if not more. And another one said, "No, we should not do that. Let's make some money off of this, and let's sell him to some raiders." So they sell him into slavery. And so he goes, these raiders, they take him to Egypt, where he then, he runs a man named Potiphar's house. Then he's falsely accused, put in prison. I'm trying to help us to understand process. Joseph was put in prison, and he was there a number of years. Matter of fact, it was 15 years later that Joseph's dream finally came about. That's process, ladies and gentlemen. That's process. Where when Joseph is, I don't know about you, but I don't like to be falsely accused of something. I don't like to be accused of something that I did not do. Joseph, this was a serious matter. That's why he was put in prison. It was 13 years after he had the dream, those dreams, before God raised him up to the top. He was second in command in Egypt. Pharaoh put him there because God had interpreted Pharaoh's dream through Joseph. How many knows there's a lot of process in 15 years? Yeah. Sometimes we have to wait a little while. Again, because it's from one step to another step. It's from glory to glory. Where our goal is that we become more and more like Jesus. But you know what? Sometimes it's real hard. If I was to ask us to raise our hands, how many of you are living like Jesus? Sometimes that's hard to want to raise your hand because we feel like we fall so short. But we're all working toward that, aren't we? Or are we? Do we even consider that? And so my challenge to you today is recognize that God is working a process in your life. And understand that that's what he's doing. He's working behind the scenes and he's involved. And when something rises to the top, that's likely God saying, yes, I'd love it if you'd get rid of that. I don't love you any less. But can you imagine the smile on God's face when we work together with him and say, you know what, I yield to you. I yield to you, Lord, I don't need that. I don't need that. Lord, cut that away from my heart. I don't want that to be a part of me anymore. Isn't that exciting? Because then the way I look at it is we're just a little bit closer to him. With every glory to glory, I view it as kind of I'm getting closer and closer to him. God's so good and he's gracious. How merciful he is. Look at how merciful he is in all this, in the process in our lives. He's faithful, isn't he? And I rejoice in who he is. Look at verse 4, Genesis 45, verse 4 and 5. So Joseph said to his brothers, now this is when his brothers, again, there's a famine coming. That was part of the dream of the Pharaoh's dream that he interpreted. And so now Joseph, his brothers have come to him with needing some food. They're needing stuff. They've got some money, and now they're coming because they need food. There's been a famine for 2 years now, and the dream said there was going to be a total of 7 years. So there's still 5 more years of famine in this story. And so Joseph's brothers, they come, and they don't know that it's Joseph. They don't know that he's there. They have no idea, but they believe that they're hoping that they can find some food there. And so they do find Joseph, and Joseph understands, he realizes who they are. And here in verse 4, Joseph said to his brothers, come near to me, please. And then they came, and he said, I am your brother Joseph. And he had kind of teased them. He was trying to test their heart and see if they'd had any heart change. He wanted to see if they were the same people that sold him into slavery. He was trying to see the process that God had done in their life. He wanted to know, okay, have they grown any? I want to see, have you made any kind of any changes in your life? Are you still the same brothers that would still sell me into slavery? So here he says he can't hold it back anymore. He's got to tell them. And they came near and he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into slavery. In verse 5, and now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. Look at this. For God sent me before you to preserve your life. To preserve your lives. How incredible. So Joseph recognized the process. He recognized, as a matter of fact, there's not any record in the scriptures of Joseph complaining about being sold into slavery by his brothers or about being falsely accused or otherwise. Joseph just keeps on going. Joseph just keeps on trying to honor the Lord. How wonderful is that? And then eventually God raises him up. I'm not preaching this message so that God's going to raise you up to a place of, above everybody else. I'm saying Joseph had process working in his life. God was working through that in Joseph's life, just as he did everyone else. King David, each and every one of them, and each and every one of us. I'm going to ask you to bow your hearts this morning. I know that it is likely that some have, maybe you're listening at home, maybe you're here I know that some may not have ever yielded to Christ yet. You may not have asked Jesus to forgive you of sins, and you may not have asked him to come into your life. So that aspect of the process hasn't even started for you yet. But I want to give you that opportunity today. If you're here this morning, or maybe you're at home, my challenge to you is that you surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Because you see, he loves you enough that he won't leave you the same. He wants to work in you, and he wants to continually perfect you. And if you do not have a relationship with Jesus, but you want to begin one, I'm simply asking you to raise your hand just long enough so that I can see it. And when I acknowledge you, you can slide your hand back down. Say, I want to begin a relationship with Jesus. I understand. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that he was raised from the dead. And I want to place my faith and hope in him. If you're listening today at home and you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, I just challenge you to make an altar right there and just confess your sin to him. Give him your heart. Give him your life. Those of you who do know Christ as Lord and Savior, my challenge to you today is, can we accept and commit ourselves to God's ways and allow his process in us? Ask him right now, in your own words, ask him to help you with the process so that you can move from one level or one step of glory to another step of glory, to continue to become more and more like Jesus Christ with every step. Whenever that, God, help me to recognize when things are off. Help me to recognize that it's you just helping me to see it by allowing that to come to the top. And Lord, help me to get rid of that. I don't need that part anymore. So Lord, we just acknowledge you today. Help us, Father. Help each one of us as we understand that we're in process, that you are working on us. God, help us to be able to pass these tests. And Lord, help us to recognize what it is for what it is. When these tests come, help us to recognize that. And then, Lord, help us as we yield ourselves to you and not hold on too tightly and not try to hold on to things that are not right for us. But Lord, let us allow your Spirit to convict us and to make us better. We give you the praise for that today, Lord. As we yield ourselves to you, we also say we want more of you. And so, God, we just take that step closer to you today. Help us, each one of us, young and old, help us to take those steps, spending time with you in prayer by reading your word and by daily spending time with you, daily considering your plan for our lives, daily considering heaven and what eternity holds. Come, Holy Spirit, and have your way in our lives. I love you, Lord, and I thank you. I thank you for doing miracles in our lives through this process. And Lord, may we not beat ourselves up, but may we continually learn. May we continually grow. May we continually glorify you. Lord, I thank you for each and every person. I'm grateful today for your people. I'm grateful today for your Holy Spirit working in our hearts. I'm grateful today, God, for lives that have been touched today in this service because you came and because you moved on their behalf. I'm grateful today, Lord. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. Go with your people, God. Give them a wonderful, wonderful afternoon. Continue to speak to their hearts as we allow you to continually transform us. We love you. We praise you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. God bless you. So great to see you today. We do have Sunday school class beginning at 10:15.